Message 7 of the August 2022 High School Sisters Conference at the church in Richardson.
Nullified sin.
Amen.
Power springs now. Praise the Lord. Living stones. You yourselves also as living stones. Amen. We'll get to that a little later, okay? You know that song we sang just now before this, you know? Oh, Lord, amen. I was in the training, and my trainer for where I served was a brother named Dick Taylor. We sang that song pretty much every Friday. You'd think it would get old, but it doesn't. Because that fact is so wonderful. We are joined to the Lord. We are one spirit with Him. Amen. Tonight, even maybe after a little bit of a heavier meal, sisters, you are joined to the Lord. Amen. You are one spirit with Him. Amen. Okay, so we're on message 5, all right? I don't know what page that is, but hopefully you're already there, all right? Life and building in the epistles, okay? You know, We saw an overview in message 1, and then we saw a picture in Genesis 28, which tied into John, right? John 1:51. Remember that? And then the last two messages, really, the focus was on the book of John. Didn't you love the cases in the book of John? There's actually a lot more. I encourage you, when you get a chance, don't wait till you're in college. Start reading the life study of John. Get with somebody and read that. You'll get more out of those cases. And we didn't even touch. They culminate in Bethany, which is the miniature of the church life. And then you have building and... Anyway, there's a lot more there. There's a lot more development of all the cases. It's so wonderful. And if you read the life study of John already, read fulfillment of the tabernacle in the offerings in the book of John. This brother Lee said that's graduate studies.
Who's read the life study of John already?
One. Yeah. So if you've read the life study, if you've already read life study, go to fulfillment of tabernacle. But life study of John. It's a good. If you've never read a life study, it's a really good one to start with. When I was in college. I really, you know what? In a high school conference, a brother told us, you need to read the life studies. His brother told us, in high school, he started reading them. He said, that really helped him go on. Amen. And I'll tell you, don't wait. Amen. The ministry is wonderful. You're already in it, right? Well, you have the books, but you have the life studies. Maybe your parents have them, those green volumes on the shelf, or blue. And now they're digital, right? You can get a subscription. That's the thing, right? You need them monthly or yearly, right? You can get into the life studies. And it's good to get in it with somebody else. It's always better. Okay? If you want, you can get Brother Lee speaking it. I did that. If you drive, you have a commute, it's a really good way to get it. Okay? There's so many ways. But I was saying that because then when I got into college, I wasn't doing that well, but some brothers, my sophomore year, they had been in Austin. They came and they asked me, what do you want to do? Can you meet? And I wanted to read the life studies because somebody told me in high school I should read them. And I didn't, but I did start in college and it was so wonderful. Right? Anyway, that was a sidebar. Okay, life and building in the epistles. So I was saying the background is we had John. Now we're coming to the epistles. You know, the Bible doesn't stop talking about life and building in John. The whole Bible, we'll see tomorrow even more, ends with this matter of building and life. Okay, life and building is, it's really building that God is just what? The mingling of God himself with man, right? Actually, after creation, we've said this a couple of times, God's intention is to build, right? How does he build? It's to work himself in humanity, right? And to work humanity into divinity. I know it sounds kind of maybe odd terms. He wants to work himself into humanity and work humanity into divinity. This is the building, right? What, after God's creation, since that time, God has been doing, what he's been doing is building himself into man and building man with himself. That is what he's been working on. What is God doing? Yes, what is God doing today? He is working on the building. Amen. Right? So, of course, the epistles presents the same thought. So the central thought of all the epistles, really, you can say in one sense the central thought of the whole Bible, but the central thought of all the epistles is the divine building, the building of God with man. That's Romans 1. Actually, what the Apostle Paul did, he just did building. Right. When he went, all these places you read about what he did in Acts, he went and visited. What was he doing? Building. I'm thinking of Tom, right? Building. Right? Right? So because this is what he did, because this is who he was a person that was involved in the building, he spoke about it, right? I did a little search on my phone. There's at least 24 times in Paul's epistles where he uses the term build or building. That's significant in the Bible to have that many usages of a word, okay? And then, of course, we'll get to Peter. We saw in John already, but even John in his epistles mentions building. We won't get to that here. But Peter and John both discuss or share this matter of building because this is what God is doing. Okay. But I wanted to touch the matter of, because you might hear this, and I don't know all your backgrounds. Some of you may have been like me, grew up in the church life. You may have been hearing building your whole life. Maybe there's some songs about it. I don't know, whatnot. Okay, but, you know, some translations of the Bible translate this word, this building in Greek, as edify. Okay, now, that's not wrong. So don't go tell your friends in Christianity that their Bible's mistranslated. I used to do this stuff when I was in junior high. Bad idea. I didn't know how to defend it, and so then, you know, it gets squashed. Okay, not a good idea, right? Yeah, it's good to share what you enjoy in the Bible, but you can help somebody know that that word edify is kind of right because of the Latin, which is most like the King James translated directly from the Latin Vulgate. I don't know if you knew this, okay? But the Bible is mostly, the New Testament is written in Greek. Anyway, the word edify is there, is kind of right, but we like to use the word build or building. Why? Because our common usage of the word edify has, unfortunately, it has a different term. But even I would say, we were talking about the first meeting, right? Build, like, hey, I want to build you up. And what do people mean? They want to make you feel better. Yeah. Or, you know, they might say, I want to build up or edify you in knowledge. Okay? A lot of people use the term building and edify, especially among Christians, to mean to know more facts or know more doctrines in the Bible. Sisters, the goal of this time is not merely to know doctrines. We do want you to know the truth, and we do want you to know the facts. You have to have knowledge first. But our burden is you wouldn't just know about things, but you would experience God himself working himself into you.
Amen.
Right? We don't want to be short. We don't want to miss what God is doing. He is building himself into us. I just want to touch that, because we can get lost. And even when I was growing up in the church life, it was really easy to get in this realm, especially after true school. You're memorizing all this stuff, and do I know it? Like, can I recite the verse?
Right.
You know, the test of building is how solid you are when the troubles come.
Right.
It's not, can I recite the verse with the reference? You do need the verses with the reference in you, because that becomes something of life and something solid in us. Anyway, I'll get more into the thought here, but we need to be built. We need God built into us.
Amen.
Okay, how about we all read Roman numeral 2? Okay, on the wings, I want you to read 1 Corinthians 3:9, okay?
For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's cultivated land, God's building.
Amen. You are God's cultivated land, God's building. Okay, how about this, the little pie in this section, read 1 Corinthians 3:12. Right, we're going to unpack these verses a little bit, right? Okay, especially verse 12. What the Apostle Paul did, remember I said he was building? He was simply building people with gold, silver, and precious stones. With a building, okay, consider, what is a building made of? Stuff, that's right. It's made of materials, particularly building materials, right, Sebastian? Sebastian works in a company that does some building materials. If you don't have the right materials, no building. Sorry.
Right.
I want to build a building. Well, you need the materials.
Right.
So what are the good materials for building? Okay, according to the divine view, we need the Bible, okay? You know, in Texas, everything's built with wood first, almost all framed with wood. According to the Bible, wood is not a good building material, okay? You need to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. Okay. So, you know, this is a question. What kind of materials do we build up the believers? Okay, you can answer me gold, silver, and precious stones, but I want you to ask, what's gold, silver, and precious stones? Okay, let's unpack this verse. There's two groups of three here. Do you see it? Gold, silver, and precious stones, like I said. And what are the other three? Wood, grass, and stubble. Okay, these go together, right? They go together. Let me do this, okay? So you have gold, and then you have wood. And you have silver, and you have grass. And you have precious stones. Right? And then stubble. You know, naturally, what is the characteristic of these things? How could you classify them? Let's draw. Good try. Okay. There's some expensive wood. If you ever reseeded your yard, grass is not cheap either. Okay, somebody said it. I think it was a serving one. So, serving one. Okay, well, that's okay. You can help out. Fire. What happens when the bottom goes through fire? It's gone. Long enough and hot enough, the bottom disappears. It's done. What about the top? Do you know how you make gold more pure? You put it through fire. Same thing with silver. Precious stones, nothing happens to them. They're fine. Right? So these are materials that are, those building, somebody kind of said it, so I'm sorry for saying no, but I wanted to get to this matter, right? Eventually, the God is going to judge everything we do. The building work we do, it's going to go through fire. So what are we building with? All right, the bottom things are just good to be burned. They're worthless in that sense, okay? Actually, you know, what do you build? Somebody didn't say this, but, you know, if you're going to build a campfire, what do you need? If you're going to start from scratch, some stubble and grass are great to get the flame going, and then you put the wood on to get it really hot. You stick gold on there? Nope. Doesn't burn. You have to get it really hot to make that stuff melt, okay? It's interesting that there's three. This is important because those three represent the triune God. Okay, gold, this is point A. Gold signifies the divine nature of God the Father. And it's related to God the Father as the source and the nature. Okay, it's a source and the nature. Okay, and I'm going to go, what's the contrast of gold? Contrast of gold is wood. That's why I put them like this. Okay, wood signifies the nature of natural man. Right? The nature of natural man. You know, it's possible to build something with the nature of God or the nature of natural man. Okay. Silver is related to the work and person of the second of the triune God, the Lord Jesus, right? Okay. Very much related to the Lord Jesus because it's the redeeming work and person of the Son. Grass, in contrast to silver, signifies the fallen man, the man of flesh who has not been redeemed and regenerated by Christ. Okay, precious stones signify the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. This is C. Precious stones signify the transforming... Okay, I already said that. By the redemption of the Son of God, we have received the nature of God. From this time on, we're in the process of transformation by the Holy Spirit through all our environment and circumstances to be transformed from pieces of clay into precious stones. And this is versus stubble. Stubble is in contrast to precious stones, signifying the work and living that issues from an earthen source and has not been transformed by the Holy Spirit. Okay, you are starting to lose it here, all right? I feel like, what is he talking about? Too many terms. Let me apply it. Okay, remember, the question I asked is, how do we build up the other saints? How do we build up believers? If we come to somebody and give them something natural from our natural man, not necessarily sinful, that's wood. What we need to give each other is gold. Okay, what about grass? You know, we're all fallen men of flesh. But praise the Lord, we have Christ as our Redeemer. Amen. Silver signifies Christ. Actually, you know, the Lord, do you remember what Judas? He threw in the 30 pieces of silver. So silver is very much to do with, that's what was paid for his being a traitor, right? Silver has very much to do with the Lord and his redemption. Okay? There's some other materials that are used eventually for the Lord, like pearls and delium. But In our experience right now, we need the Lord as our redemption. That saves us from our fallen selves. We're all fallen, sisters. We're all fallen. And if we remain in our fallen selves, we can't build up others. We'll just give them their fallen self. None of us wants to do that. And then we don't want to We don't want anything issuing from an earthen source, right? Eventually, all these things, we want to give people precious stones, and we want to be precious stones. Eventually, on the negative side, wood, grass, and stubble together signify knowledge, realization, and attainments that come from the believer's natural backgrounds. For example, religion. Okay, let me translate religion for you. Some of you may be like, well, I thought religion was good. Okay, when we use religion, when I use that term, I mean doing something for God without God. Doing something in a way, a method. We all can be religious, okay, in the negative sense. Okay, sometimes we use religious in a positive sense, but mostly in the ministry, religion is a negative thing because it signifies doing something for God without God, okay? Philosophy, culture. We all have a philosophy. You remember that matter that Zeke and Hans Michael covered about fashion? We're all fashioned according to the way we think, our culture, the way we grew up. Some of us have similar backgrounds and culture, and some of us don't. All that can affect the way we try to build. If we build according to our fallen natural man, even our good natural man, it's still wood. Yeah. And it will stand up for a while, but enough heat comes. Right. Whew, gone. Right. Okay. So, on the positive side, on the side of building, we enjoy the dispensing of the triune God. All these things are in the triune God. Amen. You ask, well, how do I get gold? I want a gold. Lord Jesus. Just ask, Lord, thank you, you're the Father. Amen. Thank you, your nature is divine. Lord, today, just impart more of your divine nature into me. Amen. Lord, I want to experience you. All these things. You say, Lord, I want to experience you as silver. Amen. Saints, we're rich. Yes. We have the riches. Amen. Don't be poor. Don't get filled up with wood, grass, and stuff. And we're all the same. You know, you'll find you're doing something, you realize, yeah, I just built with wood. Well, oh Lord, try to get some silver, get some gold, become a precious stone. And, you know, I appreciate it in precious stones. If you know anything about geology, a lot of the precious stones came in through heat and pressure. Like, they went through a lot of pressure. You know, sandstone, not a lot of heat and pressure. But the precious stones, you know, something was worked into them. Heat, pressure. That's all our environment, right? Do we all have, you all have an environment? Are you going to go into an environment in a couple weeks? You're going to have a lot of circumstances. Those are opportunities. Remember, just remember this. Those are opportunities to get transformed. Amen. And look, we were just fellowshipping before. We're all the same. We go through things, and we don't always react with gold. Sometimes what comes out is grass. You know, just... And we have to just repent. Lord, I take you again as the Redeemer. Amen. Thank you, you're silver. Amen. And we go on, okay? Amen. Right? We just, and the point is, don't focus on natural abilities. We all have natural abilities. But even in our building work, our natural abilities aren't, they're there. They're God-given, but the Lord doesn't just want that. He will use, we're all made differently, and the Lord will use how we're made. Don't think the Lord doesn't want you how you are. He wants you, and he wants to add himself. Amen. He wants to add himself to you. He wants to add himself to you. Gold, more silver, more precious stones. But, you know, it may not all be the same. I used to be bothered as a young person. Wow, that means we're all going to be cookie cutter. Yeah, in one sense, we're all going to be green. That means we're going to express God. You'll see that tomorrow, maybe, in the New Jerusalem. But if you study the New Jerusalem, it was green, jasper. But even I found out jasper has got different colors. It's yellow, red, green. Well, we're all divine, though. But the expression, have you ever seen rocks, precious stones? My kids were at the Perot Museum because they came with me, and they got all these rocks. They're all like, I guess, precious stones. I don't know what they are, maybe quartzite. But they're all these different colors and different hues and shades. And saints, the transforming work of God is beautiful. Okay? But, you know, I haven't talked to you about verse 9. You know, verse 9 says we're God's cultivated land. And then it says, we're God's building. Does that make sense? In a sense, do you grow rocks? Oh, I want some gold. Let me go to a field. Are you a gold farmer? No. But in God's view, it's very organic. It's organic, right? We are God's cultivated land. He's the husbandman, which means he's like the farmer, and his job is to prune us, so we would grow and bear fruit. You know, I've been watching my daughter, older daughter, with the help of her grandfather, had decided to start a garden in her backyard. It's a bad summer to do that because it hasn't rained. Probably by the time we get home this weekend, I think our tomatoes are going to be dead. But it is something to see. You know, you have to take care of those plants. We already had the peppers died, but then I think okra was doing really well with the heat. I don't know why. Anyway, I don't know anything about, I'm terrible at that stuff. I'm electrical engineer, lawyer, I don't know nothing. I don't know anything about planting. But the Lord, he's cultivating, right? Cultivating, we're all cultivating. But it's interesting, that cultivation, that growing results in something not of wood, grass, and stubble. You think these are organic, right? But what results from our enjoying Christ's life, his cultivating results in something solid, gold, silver, and precious stones. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 3. Okay, we're going to shift real quick to Peter. What we covered before was Paul. Okay, now Peter. Peter is really interesting. There's only two epistles that Peter wrote. But in a sense, they cover everything Paul talked about in a kind of quick way. So one example is right here, right? So remember we talked about like life issuing and building? Okay, 1 Peter 2:2 says, how about you, this section again, read 1 Peter 2:2. Okay, I'm going to insert a verse between 2:5. After that, you're going to read 2:5, but I'm going to read 2:4 because it's important. Coming to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but with God, chosen and precious. Amen. Okay, read 1 Peter 2:5. Amen. So I wish we'd had that verse. Coming to him, a living stone. You yourselves also, living stones. Do you see this? But why do we have 2:2? Because the same thought. Newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word. You know, I have a little 8-month-old. She just likes milk. She's starting to eat solid food now. Tooth is coming. But they just milk. But some baby needs milk. We need life supply to grow. Okay? But interesting, just like we just saw about cultivated land becoming precious stones, Peter says the same thing. You start with organic growth, and there's something that happens. You become a living stone. But in the middle, there's something that I really enjoyed, and we're going to touch this. Coming to him. Amen. Coming to him. Amen. Don't forget, whatever you do, this, if you get Liz, anything I say, coming to him. Amen. Coming to him, a living stone. You yourselves also as living stones. We have to come to him. Don't, whatever your situation, whatever the circumstances, we have to learn. Come to him. Amen. He's a living stone. Have you ever considered living stone? To us, it sounds pretty normal. Even there's a name, living stone. You know? But what's a living stone? Can you give me a living stone? Obi, you think you can dig one up for me? No. This is a divine thought. Because Paul used this term, he had to use the contrast, but Peter just stuck it together. Living stones. Why did Peter say that? Do you know, earlier we were seeing in John, and John, see, this is why this is connected. Because in John 1, remember, the Lord said, Simon, you are called Cephas, right? You're stone. You're stone. He just called him. We were talking about this, brothers. He just called him Stone. It was like, I met you, and just from then on for 3.5 years. Hey, Stone. He's like, my name's Simon. No, Stone. You're Stone. Eventually, he could say, living stones. Amen. Coming to him, he realized, oh, the Lord is this stone. Amen. The Lord is a living stone. I'm a living stone.
Amen.
We are living stones.
Amen.
We're being built up into a spiritual house. Right? You know, if you want to be part of the building, do you want to be part of the building?
Yeah.
We all want to be part of the building. I hope you have some desire. It's not that hard. You may think, oh, it's kind of high. It's kind of weird. No, feed on the word. Guileless milk of the word. Newborn babes. We have to practice. I think all of us that are a little older can testify, if we stop feeding on the Word, even for a little bit, not much. The result is wood, grass, and stubble. And it comes out when we're with our kids. They know, Dad hasn't been in the Word. They may not say it, but they realize something's, he's kind of irritated. I wonder what's going on. But if we're in the Word with our spirit, wow, we're coming to Him. Something of gold, silver, precious stones comes out. You don't have to say, oh, I got gold today. Everybody knows. They don't, and your friends that aren't, that aren't believers may not realize. They just realize something. There's something more shining here. And we know it. We know it. Have you ever been around the saints and you just realize, man, they're so full of light. They're so full of preciousness. I still remember going to a meeting one time, just looking up and seeing the brothers in the front. I was kind of in the back. Their expressions convicted me because they were shining and it caused me to repent. It's like silver. That redeeming came to me just by looking at their faces because they had been enjoying. Amen. So we want to be those who are building. This is the side of, on one hand, our personal thing with the Lord. We need to come to the Lord, come to the Word. But then in Roman number 4, to build up the church and the believers is simply to impart to minister Christ to them.
Amen.
Okay, let me tell you what it's not. Sometimes it's helpful to know what something's not. You know, you heard the black background, right? What is not building up is merely to teach doctrines or moral principles, right? As you know, Confucius, Brother Lee said this in the book. I think it's in there. You have it. Confucius taught 2,500 years ago to love others and be humble. So even before Christ, Confucius was teaching to love others and be humble. So if all we're doing is teaching people to love others and be humble, that's not the building. That's just moral ethics. And we don't need a Christianity that's a religion of teaching and teaching people to be good, right? It's not just about, that's so low. That's so low. I mean, I'm not saying be bad. I'm not saying be immoral and don't be humble, don't love others, but there's gold, silver, and precious stones. There's something precious that you can touch that's way beyond this level. Another thing is it's not a matter, I'm really burdened with this. It's not merely a matter of outward practices. Okay. A lot of you are like me. You grew up in the church life. You've been around. Maybe you learned how to say amen before you learned how to say mama. Right? Or hallelujah. I mean, we see babies all the time. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And everybody's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, on one hand, that's okay, but like, where's the reality? Right. And I'm concerned about you. You're in high school now. You're not babies. Right? I grew up in the church life. We're not here for performance. We're not here put on a face. Oh, I come to the meeting. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then we're a different way. We know. The Lord knows. Okay? I'm not here to condemn anyone. I'm just telling you, this is my situation too. If you come away and get that, building is just, I had morning revival. Check. I came to the meeting. Check. I prophesied. Check. I'm building. If you ask, have you been in the building? Say, yeah, I prophesied. I had morning revival. I went to the prayer meeting. I went, check, check, check. If that's all that is, that still can be just activity.
Right.
You can go your whole life and not, you could be in the church life, going to all the meetings, and you can go, I never left. But I question, are you even there? Are you in the building? Or is it a performance? And then what happens is, if all you have is a performance, what can you minister? What can you minister to somebody? I appreciated the testimonies we had. You know, we all go through problems. We go through good situations. You know, I was considering that situation with that brother. That's not unusual. We have a problem. If we haven't had much of the Lord in us, we don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
We don't have anything we can give people.
Right.
We just kind of, I appreciate your, just kind of, I've been there. And maybe outwardly, you sisters are much better about hiding that kind of stuff. Brothers, we just kind of don't know, so we just literally like turn around. But that's not, don't you want to be somebody who's weighty with the Lord?
Yes. Yes.
We all want that. We don't want a performance. Merely a performance, it doesn't, It doesn't meet God's need. And eventually you know. Eventually you know. It becomes apparent. You think you're faking everybody out. You're not. Again, don't be condemned and don't be self-conscious. I'm sorry. But I do want you all to go to the Lord. So what does A say? We must first enjoy the triune God ourselves.
Amen.
Right? Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Actually, that whole section in Ephesians 3, just practice. Don't make it an activity, but take those verses to the Lord. Almost every day. I can't say I do it every day, but almost every day I'm led, Lord, strengthen me with power through your spirit into the inner man.
Amen.
If our spirit is not active, if it's not strengthened, we can't do anything.
Right.
You tell me to go enjoy the Lord with the brothers, and if I haven't been in my spirit, man, I don't want to. I'm too tired. Something else I need to do. Oh, there's something else I need to take care of.
Right.
But if I have strengthened into my inner man, I've enjoyed the Lord first. I have first something, then I can have an overflow of something I can give someone else.
Amen.
Right? How about we all read B together?
We will then have the material to minister Christ by the Spirit to others, so that they may be filled with Christ.
How about the wings read 1 Thessalonians 5:11? Okay, read Ephesians 4:29, this section.
Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear.
We can give grace to those.
Amen.
Comfort one another. Don't you like to get comforted? Don't you like to receive grace? Well, sisters, we also have that opportunity to be the people that minister comfort and grace. Real comfort comes through the triune God. How can we do this if we're not constituted with Christ? We have to have the materials for the building.
Amen.
Our ministering Christ actually is our building up. We are like, it's like sending a cross beam, you know, for the building. You know, I really like in the tabernacle, there was these bars. They went through these hooks. They just went through, connecting these different bars, boards, which represent us. Okay, that's actually the spirit going through. Anyway, passing through. We all need to be those who minister Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you want to help another brother and sister when they're going through a hard time?
Yes.
I have that. What about an unbeliever? You want to help them. You want to, your friends at school, they're going through a rough time. You want to give them something. Let me tell you a story. I was freshman in college, and this guy, he was really struggling, and he was struggling about believing in God. And I started giving him all this doctrine about why God was real, based on my understanding of reading one book. And it didn't work. I told the brothers, most of my stories are just failures. Sorry, I'm good success stories. But it exposed me a lot, because I realized I don't have much in me, actually. But I realized, like, taking away, I was like, I don't have much to give. It's because I don't spend time in the Word. I know about the Word. I've been around it my whole life, but I didn't spend time enjoying the Lord. I didn't have morning revival every day. Nothing. Went in for the, checked the oil, and nothing's there. It's dry, you know. If we experience the triune God, we'll actually have the building materials with us. We'll have the cargo for the building, okay? The problem, okay, here's the danger, is if you don't have the materials, if you haven't been enjoying, out of your desire to help somebody, this is my experience, I want to help them. And if you know Ben Veit, I'll say something. Okay, I say stuff, I just talk. So my wife is like, stop talking. Okay, why? Because if we don't have something of the materials of Christ, then what we're giving them is just our opinion. Remember the cases of the opinions, right? We've all just opinion. That's what comes out if we're not enjoying Christ as the materials. And actually, our opinions can damage, right? We don't want to damage the building. We want to build the building. So we have to take time. Even speaking of our past, I've been touched by this recently. So this, how you... follow me. Even our past experiences of Christ, We have to be careful. It's okay to give examples, but don't rely on our experience that that's what this person needs. We just need to enjoy the triune God. The best thing we can do to help somebody is bring them to enjoy the triune God. Amen. We can share our enjoyment. Yes. It doesn't mean we don't share our testimonies. But I fall in the habit when I'm struggling that the Lord gave me a solution in a certain situation. And sometimes I have given that to somebody, but not really given them the Lord. There's a way to give that experience, but give them the Lord.
Amen.
And realize that that's my experience too. That may be the Lord, that may be not for them. Right? All right. So we just want to be those who continually endeavor to gain more Christ. How can we gain Christ? How do we come to Him? Like I said, come to Him, but how? You know, it's so simple. It's so easy. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Sisters, I hope you would not think our calling on the Lord is just, oh, that's the church life thing.
Right.
And even, we shouldn't insist. Somebody doesn't want to call on the Lord. That's not, that doesn't make them a believer or not a believer. Right? But I can tell you, oh, Lord, Jesus is so precious.
Yes.
To get God into me.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Oh, you know?
That's right.
You know, when we're struggling with the Lord, sometimes it's hard to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Well, I asked a brother one time, I said, I'm struggling with saying, Lord Jesus, we love you. He said, well, get with me and we'll say, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Right? Pray, read His word. I'm learning there's never too much pray reading the word.
Right.
We just need to practice. You know, the enemy fights. You go to, I'm going to pray read the word right now. And then right away you do that, start to do that, and something comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to pray. Lord, I just need to pray. I want to spend some time to pray. Right away, oh, this comes up, that comes up, or something pops on your phone. Right? Singing. Praise the Lord. I've enjoyed your singing this weekend, sisters. Haven't you touched something? I think in your singing this weekend, God is getting into you.
Amen.
I believe it. God is getting into you.
Amen.
So because we open. Singing is a great way to open our being to the Lord. We just open and let Him come in. Okay. And then ask Him. Pray over Ephesians 3:17. Lord, strengthen me into my inner man. Lord, make your home in my heart. Root me that I never leave the church life. Root me in love.
Amen.
You pray these things to the Lord. This is the way to pray. This is the way to come to Him. This is the way to be the cultivated land that results in the building, okay? So, 5 is the proper way to build up the body is to build the body. Sorry, let me read it again. The proper way to build up the body of Christ is to build the body with Christ, by Christ, and in Christ, having Christ as everything.
Amen.
Right? John 3:30 says, He must increase, but I must decrease. Okay, that's not a verse in the epistles. You're like, why is it there? Well, John 3 is on regeneration. So, in a sense, I'm going to get to this part later, is the beginning of the growth is the increase of God in us. Okay. And that involves decrease. Of what? Of ourselves. Again, the Lord needs our soul. Each one of you has a mind, emotion, will that was created by God. And before the fall, there was no problem with the soul. The Lord made us with a soul. Man became a living soul. Don't think we're trying to be conformed. I mean, I was worried about this when I was a young person. I don't know why. I don't want to be conformed. Whatever. Okay, don't make me be. Maybe I was just rebellious, but don't make me be like this. I don't want to be like that. I'm different. Well, you are. Everybody's different. We're all made differently, you know. We have different mind, emotion, and will. So we just need to realize the Lord still wants to grow in us. So how do we grow? I want to give you 2 more verses here, okay? And this is the points. Holding the head, and I'm going to wrap up here, okay? Holding the head and growing with the growth of God.
Amen.
And actually, both of them are in Colossians 2:19. I'll read that first. Holding the head, out from whom all the body, being richly supplied and knit together by means of the joints and sinews, grows with the growth of God. So underline holding the head. You have a pen? Underline holding the head. And underline grows with the growth of God. 2-step process. It's somewhat cyclical though. But we need to practice holding the head. No growth if we don't hold the head. What does it mean to hold the head? That holding there means hold fast. Like, right there. Like, hold tight. Hold tight. Hold tight the head, Christ. Right? Out from whom all the body? Out from whom all the body? Being richly supplied and knit together grows with the growth of God. This is Paul speaking. And then Ephesians, he says something similar. Holding the truth in love, we may grow up into him who is the head, Christ. Out from whom all the body, being joined and knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation and the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body. So the proper way to build the body is to realize the head, Christ, and to have the body life, the church life. So when we have an enjoyment of the head, there should be a result, which is we should want to be with the members. This is a normal thing. You know, John says in his epistles, we know we have passed out of death into life. Why? Because we love the brothers. And you can say we love the sisters. It's okay. But the Bible says we love the brothers. But you know, maybe it's hermanos. Going to look in Spanish. It's both, right? Okay. You know, inclusive. We have to take care of the head, though. We have to take care of our time with the Lord first. Right? And taking care of, I appreciate that it's not holding Christ. The Bible doesn't say holding Christ, holding Jesus. It says holding the head. Okay, on one hand, that's because there's a picture here. There's the picture of the head and the body, right? But the point is, what does the head do? The head directs. It governs. So part of holding the head is being subject to him. Right? A lot of times we enjoy, oh Lord, I want you as my life supply. Lord, praise me, give me life today. And the Lord says, but don't listen to that song. And I'm like, nope. Or don't say that to your sister. Right? Or you should call that other older sister. And you can go, nope. All of a sudden, what happens? No supply. You're not connected. You're not holding the head. Following our conscience is holding the head. You know, I was touched like, we need, on one hand, we need to go to the Lord. Lord, grow in me. Don't stop saying that. Lord, grow in me. Lord, increase in me. Right? But we also need to follow his leading. This is to hold the head. Here's the thing. When Christ starts to grow in us, he grows in us. You know what? He starts to spread in us. God is spreading in my being. I love that song. Why? Because as he grows in us, he spreads. He starts to make his home in our heart. But we have to give him ground. You know, the Lord, Satan, if you give him a gap, he comes in unwanted. He'll like force his way in, right? Isn't that your experience? But God, he always is just like, I'm outside. You have to invite him in. It's not a small thing to say, Lord, I open to you. Lord, I open. I just come in. Lord, I invite you in to every part of my being. Even the parts I don't want you to come in. Lord, come in. The more you pray, the more you want to pray that way. The more we, you know, these verses are wonderful because the more he gets into us, the more increase. You know, when Christ, on one hand, is, you could say, how does Christ increase? Well, he increases in us. In us, he increases. On one hand, he's complete. In the Godhead, he's complete. But on the other hand, his desire is to get into where he is not. And he is not fully in our heart. He's taking time through all the circumstances, through the heat and pressure, to work himself into us. He wants to get in. And then as he gets in, when we're with others, right? We love the brothers. We're here together. We've been in hospitality together. When you go back, I hope you would endeavor. Those of you that are in large localities and spending time with others, keep spending time. And if you live far away, you know, use FaceTime and WhatsApp. Get to know the other saints. You can do it. Technology makes it so easy. Amen. Right? But in that, there's some knitting going on, right? There's some, like, there's some building. You know, in a sense, a building's a knitting of all these materials, right? We can't see. They cover all this up with like the sheetrock. But if you looked at all the, if you took that away, you would see this like knitting, interweaving of these materials that are all built together. And they're structurally strong. So even when there's wind and rain and shaking, it doesn't fall down. This is building. The building isn't just me and God. The building is God, me and God plus all of you. And actually, it's getting more built together is what saves us.
Amen.
It's what saves us. Saints, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for being built up with a number of different ones. I wouldn't be here. In college, I was on my way out, not because I decided to go. It's not like that. You just get slower and slower, darker, more in darkness, and I just made a habit of not going to the meetings. I was miserable, but I made a habit of not going to the meetings. But praise the Lord, a brother, he would just call me. This is before smartphones, so I didn't even keep my phone on most of the time because I had to pay for the minutes. So I'm cheap like that. It wasn't free minutes, you know, and texting cost money too. It was like weird. Okay, ancient times. But this brother would, he would just call me and share his enjoyment of Christ. He was my serving one from when I was in high school. But he would call me in college. You could say he should have been done. I've done my time with Ben. He's good. No, he cared. He still cares. I saw him in Anaheim a couple weeks ago, just full of joy, just see one another, because we love one another. He would just call, and he would just share and enjoy me. And I would save his messages. Voicemail, you know what that thing is? You know, we hardly ever use it, but I would say, it didn't have text readout. You know, you had to actually listen. And I would just listen to that, because that was the only supply I was getting sometimes. Sometimes. I mean, there was some other saints. There was a lot of saints praying for me. Praise the Lord. And why do they pray? Because they get to know you. There's been some building. And then some of my peers, you know, they were, you know, different times. We got each other on, you know. We shared with each other like, yeah, you're going through that. I'm going through that too. And it was so encouraging that I saw the brothers I grew up with going on in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, not all my, unfortunately, not all the brothers I grew up with decided to take this way, but a lot of them did. A lot of them are serving the Lord full-time, or they're serving the Lord full-time with keeping a job, doing, anyway, so wonderful.
Yeah.
We were in the conferences together, and we never forgot about caring for one another. Even in college, we went to different colleges. Later, we see each other, we just, oh, praise the Lord. We turned something that was natural into something spiritual. And there was a building that went on, and there's a knitting that went on, right? This joining and knitting is an interweaving. This interweaving issues in the building up of the body. The body isn't just like pillars like next to each other. No. It's mixed together. The stones are on top of each other, fit together. Anyway, this is building. To be the joining and the knitting that goes on is the real building up. Now, to be joined with another saint actually requires a lot of times an adjustment. If you do masonry, if you've ever seen a mason take stones and put them together, they're always like shaving off or fitting the right one. You know, we're all fit. You've all been placed in a locality where you are, in a certain environment, especially with the saints, and you're there to be fit. Sometimes you're like, why am I with this person? Just enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
There's been times I'm with somebody, and then after the Lord has been able to work, man, we're totally different, but I just love that saint. Because some building got on. There's no wood, grass, and stubble. No way they could get together. Because there's just nothing alike in our human life. But something of building gets worked out, right? Through this rich supply in operation in the measure, right? So we all have each one part. We all have a measure. Don't think you have a measure. You may think, oh, I'm a sister. I don't have much measure. Don't worry. The more you enjoy the Lord, the more your measure will come out. The more you have something that you can dispense. Don't think dispensing is only prophesying in the meeting. Or, I don't know. You can dispense something of life to each other. You can dispense something of life to your parents, to your grandparents, to your friends. Anyway. So, kind of in conclusion, what then is our response to, I would say, all the speaking so far? How do we respond to it? I've been telling you, like, what it means, but Our response is to begin, I would just say, open to the Lord.
Amen.
Just begin opening your being, right? Tonight, or even right now, Lord, I open to you.
Amen.
It's not a small thing. And then, you know, again, I told you, it's not about the hour of things, but there are life practices. We call them life practices because they help us grow.
Yes.
Morning revival.
Yes.
I know you heard it every, probably if you've been in these conferences, you keep hearing, why do the birds always talk about morning revival? I'm telling you, it is critical to have some time in the Lord, morning with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, sometimes there's things, those of us that are parents can tell you, when you have little kids like babies, you're not sure when morning starts and stops. Like, well, was morning when I woke up at 4? Was it I got up at 5:15? Or was it when I got up at 7 because I was still sleeping and missed my alarm because the baby woke up? Doesn't matter. Don't be in that realm. Have some time in the morning with the Lord.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's quick because that's what the situation came, but sometimes you have some time for some more time. The more time, the better, right? These are just principles. But learn to have that.
It's,
learn to have it. If you have trouble, let me tell you this. Every time your situation changes, life practices suffer. Isn't this right?
Absolutely.
You start new school year. I was doing great all summer. I went to the conference. The person had a morning revival. Then school starts. All of a sudden, morning activity. You need to be there at 7 o'clock. What? 7 o'clock? You don't have time to get ready. And you're thinking, I don't have time to have morning revival. I'm going to be late. I can't sleep. Well, work it out. On one hand. On the other hand, find somebody else. Find somebody else. Find somebody that will have morning revival with you, even for a week. Even for a week. Anyway, if you're struggling, it's good to go to the other member and say, I'm struggling. I don't can tell you how many times I've been struggling with a life practice, whether it's reading the Bible, morning revival. You think I would know about morning revival. I went to the full-time training. I've gone through stages where morning revival just gone. And I didn't even realize it. Just weeks went by. I didn't have morning revival. And all of a sudden I realized, I'm in the church life. I went to the full-time training, and I haven't had morning revival for 3 or 4 weeks. And frankly, I don't know how to restart. Well, open. Maybe a friend can call you. Maybe a sibling, right? I found when I was married, my wife was so good. We could have morning revival together sometimes.
Amen.
When we're both struggling, you know. But call a serving one. Yeah, I mean, I had a serving one. I can't remember if it was junior high or high school. At least once a week, he would call me. For like a whole 6 months, he called me. And I had a phone near my bed. I'd pick it up and, you know, I was in my bed trying to. But praise the Lord, I got something. I got something those days. You know, don't despise small things. They get in. And then day by day, I would say minute by minute. You know, I enjoyed this week. Grace. We need grace minute by minute. This is in the morning revival. Right? We need grace minute by minute. Cooperate. What is it? We need grace to cooperate with the head because he's speaking all the time. He's saying, don't do that. Don't look at that. Right? What are you doing with your fingers? Don't do that. I'm serious. I'm not joking. It's me too, right? Right? Don't listen to that. Don't say that. And then he's positive too, right? Go read your Bible. Take a break. Pray. Do you love me? The Lord does these kind of things. He's like this. He's built up the practice during the day. You know, we get busy. I have a busy job. It's sometimes very demanding mentally. And I realize, it's been hours. I haven't touched the Lord. Well, when you realize, stop. Lord, I love you.
Amen.
Man, it's just refreshing. Then you need to get back into it. And I'm still learning I'd like to learn. I'm still learning. I tell you, I'm still learning. How can I be in my spirit and do my job? We just need to practice, though. You know, whether it's driving, do you drive yet? Most of you, I don't know if you do. But when you start driving, it's a good opportunity. You can make a choice. What you do in the car. I'm serious. 10 minutes. You can have 10 minutes with the Lord, or you can have 10 minutes just sucking in all the things from the world.
Right.
And we're all the same.
Yeah.
Don't think it changes when they get older. Oh, when I'm in college, I'll stop listening to music, or I'll stop with what? No. It's practice. And if you can't, take it to the Lord. And if you still can't get through, take it to somebody else and pray about it. This is how we get through. The Lord will do it. I can tell you with me, my experience with, I had a problem with music in high school. Okay, we had this thing called a radio. And I would, FM, that was the where the music was. And I had an old car, and I would turn on the radio. When I got, I had 10-minute drive to work, to school, very short, I mean, maybe less. And I always left myself just enough time to make it, like, before I walked in, the bell rang, right? And I just had this habit. I get in the car, this is the music, whatever was on. And it wasn't like you could pick what you listened to. It was the radio, some of those commercials. Anyway, I just did it. And, but the Lord started to bother me. This is my experience, okay? Don't try to repeat, but just go to the Lord, okay? You may have a different experience, a different problem, but the Lord's bothering me. Ben, why can't you spend with me 10 minutes on the way to school? And so I remember particularly right after a conference coming, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. I got in the car, sat down, and turned on the radio. And then I was like, whatever. Drive to work. But, you know, the Lord would bother me. He didn't let me go because I'd open to him about it. And I, actually, it took years. It took years. It's not overnight. It's not like the Lord. He's not about our outward activity. He wants to get into us. But eventually, you keep coming to the Lord, and I fellowship with the brothers, you know. Mia, with your dad, we talked about this. What do we have? What do we do? I grew up with Mia's dad. And then like, how do I deal with this? And we fellowshipped, you know. And we prayed about it. And I can tell you, sisters, the other day, somehow, some MP3s, they were on my old computer, and I hadn't heard this in a while. I started listening. I didn't have any tape for it. Immediately deleted it. But I was so encouraged that that was my reaction. Because I was, you know, at first my natural man, you know, kind of had liked that stuff. And so I thought, well, but I was so encouraged. It didn't, after all, I don't want that. I don't want that. You know, it can happen. The Lord can do these kind of things. We just practice. This is how we have life in building. You want more life? You have to come to the Lord. Come to him, the living stone. He is living and he is a stone. And he is making us living stones in all kinds of ways. Just practice, practice, practice daily, moment, minute by minute, before you go to bed, when you're at school, when you're driving, when you're walking. The more, the better. The more we let him in, the more he has a way to work in us. And then the more we do that, there will be something that issues in a knitting, in a growing, and that is the building. This is life and building in the epistles, okay? Do you want to say anything?
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Sorry, I'm just really touched by the Lord today. let me just start here. You know, saints, we're in a precious place. I was just considering what a mercy we're here. I'll just start with these points, saints. What the Lord is doing in us today is depositing in us gold, silver, and precious stones. And practically, I was just considering, how practically is gold deposited in our being? Gold is the divine nature of God. Consider this verse, 2 Peter 1:4. Write it down. It's through the precious and exceedingly great promises, that's the words of the Bible, that the gold is deposited in our being. I was considering, like he said, a few months ago, I had a devastating situation in my family. We just turned my life upside down. And before that, I was really enjoying the Lord, consistent in my morning revival, consistent in the Word, and boom, gone. Gone. Even till today, it's like, and the brother said, maybe we should share. I was like, brothers, you probably don't know my condition right now. Actually, the Lord knew I needed to get into the Word like this. I'm just telling saints, we're not better than you.
No, we're not.
We need this Word again and again and again.
Yeah.
Actually, well, for the first time, I mean, I read the word here and there, but for the first time, I picked up my Bible reading schedule just again, based on all the speaking this weekend. I enjoyed 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We are a sweet-smelling savor to God.
Amen.
Well, in that reading, I believe there was gold deposited in my being.
Amen.
But not only in our reading of the word, when we're in the meetings, do we realize there is gold in the saints?
Amen.
When they open their mouth to speak, that is gold.
Amen.
So I would say yes. You know, it's not, sometimes you feel like we don't want to be in the meeting, but what you're missing out on by not being in the meeting is you're missing out on gold.
Amen.
You know, we have this example of when we're in the Word, we're washing rice. I realize that's true, but really, as we're being washed in the Word, there is gold being deposited in our being.
Amen.
Anyway, saints, as much as you can, my mom, who passed away, she one thing she put in my being is to always be with the people of God. And that, for me, did a lot, because it's hard for me to miss a meeting. And in the meetings, in the church life, what do I get?
Gold.
Amen. That's what you get.
Amen.
You miss on the meetings, you miss out on gold, because the word is spoken there.
Amen.
The second thing, at least in the New Testament age, the Lord does to make us buildable is silver. And I really appreciate this very much. Because, you know, Mauricio was saying this today, the more we go on in the Lord, the more we realize how short, how sinful, how weak we are. But praise the Lord. Because what the Lord is doing day by day is ministering himself as silver into our being. Don't be bothered by how the mistakes you've made. Don't be bothered by your sinfulness.
Amen.
Because praise the Lord for the cross of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
As we enjoy the blood, there is something of silver being deposited in our being.
Amen.
And actually, if you consider before in the New Jerusalem, that silver is actually pearl.
Yeah.
You know what pearl gates are? They are the entrance for people around us to get into the building.
Amen.
So don't be bothered by your mistakes. Don't be bothered by your sinfulness. Apply the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And that ministers silver into your being.
Amen.
And what that does, it makes you approachable and makes a way for others around you to get into the building.
Amen.
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 Oh, Lord. And finally, precious stones. There's much to say here, but saints, like I mentioned in the beginning, the brothers have mentioned, our situations will not always be pleasant, but hallelujah for the flowing Spirit.
Amen.
Every time we have a situation that's unbearable, one thing we can realize is that there is a river in our spirit.
Amen.
And this river is doing one thing, to transform us from just natural wood to precious stones.
Amen.
Precious stones. You know, as I was hearing the testimonies from the saints and from the brother, just I realized in the church life, we have men of preciousness.
Yeah.
And not just to be admired by themselves, but to be part of the building.
Yeah.
Lord, build in us.
Amen.
Deposit more gold.
Amen.
Deposit more silver.
Amen.
Deposit more precious, make us more precious stones.
Amen.
Not to be admired, but for the building of God.
Amen.
Amen. Actually, one last thing. Saints, I really want to underscore what Brother Ben mentioned, our response, because I've just been bothered here. Like, the Lord is operating my being. You know, in a general sense, there'll be two, in a sense, realizations as you're in a meeting like this, in a conference like this. The general sense, Lord, life and building. We have a sense, life and building. I would say, okay, first, if you feel you don't have the Lord speaking through this, all that's been shared, I would just implore you, go to the Lord. Say, Lord, I open to you.
Amen.
Lord, I'm here. I want to receive your speaking.
Amen.
Okay. But for some of us who, for sure, the Lord has been speaking in a general way about life and building, saints, don't let this go. Like Amber mentioned, you know, I wasn't in high school conferences like you, but I was in trainings, I was in conferences, and I realized the ones I was in where I gave and consecrated against the Lord, those are eternal memorials. You know, a lot of times you come here, you enjoy the Lord, then you go, it's like, oh, that was a good conference. What do we, you know, it's kind of like vapor. We do not want our conferences to be like vapor. We want it to be something solid.
Yes.
And the way that happens is by having transactions with the Lord. I would say spend some time in the general sense, just Lord, I give myself to you for your building.
Yes.
Just pray whatever is in your being back to the Lord.
Amen.
And I would say even do it by yourself, but even do it with your companion.
Amen.
Don't let this go. Now, the other side, the Lord may be shining in a particular way. Maybe there's something in your being that's not, the Lord doesn't agree with. In a situation like this, there's a lot of light, and there can be a bothering in your being. I would implore you, don't let that bothering go. Go to the Lord. Have a transaction with the Lord so that that could be something that's a solid deposit of the Lord in you in this time. Anyway, it could be things like that needs to be cleansed in our being. It could be things that need to be consecrated to the Lord. Some of us may realize our view of marriage is not proper. Our relationships, whatever it is, I don't know. I mean, we all have different situations. I would say spend some time with the Lord. I know I have, just sitting right there. When the light is there, Lord, amen.
Amen.
Lord, amen.
Amen.
You may not have a word, just say, Lord, amen.
Amen.
That will make us those who are fit for the building.
Amen, saints. We get to have some speaking. Should we move the mics up? Yeah, okay. If you want to respond, if you want to say, Lord, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I really enjoyed this message in there a lot, but I was especially touched by the point of just checking the boxes, because I know that in my experience it's really easy to fall into that. When you want something, when you want that feeling of the Lord, but you're not willing to really come to the Lord, you're just like, okay, here's all the things I need to do. Okay, great. But where's the feeling? And you're just checking all the boxes. But that's like trying to build something, and instead of focusing on how the entire thing is coming together, just being like, okay, I know I need to put a nail in somewhere. Just like hammering it in very close up, not seeing the whole picture, and just putting in a tiny little thing somewhere, like expecting a perfect result. We need to be willing to just drop our concepts and just enjoy the Lord, whether or not it checks our imagined boxes.
Right.
We just need to be building up.
Amen.
I was touched by the special fellowship when our sister mentioned the worldwide family of the believers and how the saints just shepherd you continuously in every situation that you need, even if it's a small thing like just bringing a home-cooked meal to someone who's having a hard time, or even just coming to pray with you and just be there for you. And if I wasn't a believer, if I wasn't in the church life, I'd be very confused, like, why these people, like, don't even know you in some situations. If they don't even know you, how are they being so nice? It doesn't make sense. But it's just the church life, and we have, anywhere you go, there's the church life there.
I was really touched by the point the brothers were sharing about how our situations will change, it's possible, and with that, maybe our Bible reading will change, or our prayer will change, or the frequency of different things will change, but it'll fluctuate, but you can't be discouraged by that or depressed by that, and just apply the blood and then come back to Christ in whatever situation you're in.
I enjoyed the simple point on the, like, precious stones and how they become precious stones, and they have to go through heat and pressure. I feel like I can apply this to, like, school especially. It's hard, but, you know, like, through the heat and pressure, you know, we become the precious stones. So I enjoyed that.
Amen. I really appreciated that. We just need to let the Lord in, and so he can increase into us, and he can spread into our being. And to grow in God, we need to hold the head and grow with the growth of God.
Amen.
Lord, we just open to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I really enjoyed y'all's testimony. I live with my grandparents, but they're not really my grandparents. I'm not actually related to them. But they're an old couple that my mom met through the church. My mom moved here when she was 18. And she followed the church life into Moscow, Russia, with this couple. And she worked as a translator, and they've been with me since, the day I was born. And my grandpa has been there for me when my dad never has, because my dad's an atheist. And I really like the principle that we have a family within the church life. Amen.
Amen. So this last year, I was homeschooled my whole life, and I started public school for my first time, and I was with people in public school. And I was really excited to, like, you know, tell everyone about God and minister Christ and build a church and all that. And so when the Lord would come up in conversations, I would kind of go to my natural man, because I love debating. So I'd be like, yes, the Bible is real because of da-da-da-da-da. And the brother was saying how we don't need to teach doctrines, right? This point about the silver becoming the pearl, and how this makes us approachable in a way because we become the pearl for people to enter into the building, you know? So I would much rather be pearl or silver than wood. Anyways, that was really just touching to me, how we should go to the Lord for that.
Amen.
I really enjoyed message 5, especially the building. I enjoyed that the more we let the Lord in, the more he has room to work in us. So it should be our prayer, Lord, build in me, Lord, grow in me. Amen. Amen.
I enjoyed that to build up the church, we must first enjoy the triune God ourselves. Because if we are still in our fallen selves, we can't build anyone else up.
Amen. I really enjoyed the metaphor, illusion of the gold, silver, and precious stones, and how we have to be, built up with gold, silver, and precious stones instead of wood, grass, and stubble. Because, when the Lord comes and he judges us and with fire, all that good stuff, we have to be built up with something solid and real, and we have to be built up with the triune God, who is, gold, silver, and precious stones. And
I really enjoyed your testimony because being a church kid, I'm raised in the church life, and it feels like I can't do a lot of stuff. It's like you can't wear inappropriate clothes, you can't listen to certain types of music. You're just conformed to a lot of rules in the truth schools and just in my daily life. But your testimony really shows how we also gain a family when we're in the church life, and I really appreciate that. Amen.
I really enjoyed Roman numeral 4. It says, to build up the church and the believers is simply to impart to minister Christ to them. And point A says, we must first enjoy the triune God ourselves. And once we enjoy the triune God, we will then have the material to minister Christ as the Spirit to others so that they can be built with Christ. And I really enjoy that because, if we try to build people up in ourselves, it, doesn't work. Because it's just, we're just giving them facts. We're not actually, pouring Christ onto them.
Amen. 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 I really enjoyed the special fellowship and, again, how the church is like a family. And I feel like especially this past year, I had a really hard time. It was my first year in high school, and I was switching from online school. But I feel like since I had the church life and the people in the church life, it really helped me. And I don't know if I would even still be here if it wasn't for them.
Amen.
I just wanted to share a couple of prayers that I really enjoyed. Lord, I open to you. Lord, help me follow your leading. Lord, build in us, deposit more gold, silver, and precious stones so that we may lead people to you, not just for us to be admired, but for your building.
Amen. Amen. I really enjoyed the fact how we have to still, like, we have to bring in the Lord with our everyday lives and with school and everything. And I'm personally, I'm really scared about this school year. I know, like, I've hopefully some of y'all can relate to this, but I'm like petrified because I feel like every school year I fall back into this rhythm of like going back into the world and then being plucked out of it during like conferences in the summer. And so right now I'm just kind of in a stage where I'm just like, you know, like and especially with like the music and, you know, like people around me doing actions. And then because it's the world, I tend to mimic those actions. So I'm at a stage where I'm just praying to the Lord, like, don't, like, I need to work with you to not fall back into that constant pattern. So yeah,
I really enjoy that we need to dispense gold, silver, and precious stones to others, and that we can only gain these riches through personal experiences of God. And if we do not have these riches, then we can only dispense like worthless wood or like stubble to others. And this basically is like our opinions and stuff, and it will not only like not help with the building, it would also even hinder it at times.
I just want to echo the sharing of the couple this afternoon. Bear with me. I'm a mom. I think I could have many daughters here because my daughter's behind me. She's 16. But I just want to encourage all of you to stay in the house of God.
Amen.
You're in high school, you're gonna go to college, and like the sister shared, you have so many temptations, but I'll encourage you to stand firm in the faith.
Amen.
And you cannot do it alone sometimes. You need each other.
Amen.
You need many moms, you need aunts, grandpas, grandmas, and there they are for you.
Amen.
Turn around, tell a sister, I'm having a hard time. Please help me. They'll be happy to pray for you.
Right.
Open up things. Young people, I really encourage you.
Amen.
Open up.
Amen.
Have companions and stay in the house of God.
Amen.
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 I really enjoyed the point from the special fellowship where Sister Amber talked about how the church is like a home. And I feel like we take it for granted a lot because we don't realize that it's such a hospital environment for ourselves. And there really is a notable difference between those who are in the church life and those who are not. Because I remember this one time, one particular experience that came to mind was when I just dyed my hair, and my dad, the night before, he was like, they're going to think you're a gangster. This isn't, like, he reacted so strongly to it. And I was really worried when I went to church the next day. And then after the morning meeting, I was like waiting for my mom to finish talking to everyone. And then this one of the older sisters came up to me, and for some reason I got really scared because she had like a doily on her head and she had like a cardigan. And I was like, oh, she means business. And then she comes up to me and then she touched my shoulder, and I'm like, and then she's like, I really love your hair. And I was just shocked because I did not expect that at all. But it's just, yeah. And it's like, when I'm with my other friends, like outside of the church life, I have a fun time, but at the end, you realize that it's just kind of superficial.
Right.
But then when you're with the young people, the people in the church life, it feels like home. You feel kind of warm.
Yeah.
And that's not something that you find very often.
Amen. Man, I enjoyed that building is not just out of teaching and doctrine, but we are built by gold, silver, and precious stones. And this is something far better than an outward performance. So I just really appreciated that in this conference, we have Christ dispensed into us, and that's what's building us up.
Amen.
Amen. I really enjoyed the special fellowship today. It was especially
very like personal for me and my experience and stuff like that. And right now I'm in college. I'm going into my second year of college. And I realized that as I've grown up, I experienced certain situations in which it wouldn't be particularly, I guess, beneficial for me to go through that experience had I been younger. And things like going through college decisions and stuff like that, the Lord has really, really supplied me. And he has grown within me.
Amen.
So much more than whenever I was like 14. And just progressively as time goes on, through different experiences that I've had, the Lord has really reached out for those opportunities. And particularly whenever I was having college decisions, it was so difficult. And it took a lot of prayer, a lot of tears, a lot of sobbing. But the Lord was sovereign in amen. The situation.
Amen.
And even though I said amen, I would still be like, Lord, why is it this location? Why is it like over here and not over here? Like, why couldn't it be at this college and stuff like that? And eventually, after a lot of dealing with the Lord, I again said amen,
amen.
And fully consecrated that experience to him.
Amen.
And it definitely was a definitive moment for me in my Christian life, especially because it just made me realize that the Lord is seeking such opportunities for you to just seek him even further. And he wants to build you up with gold, silver, and precious stones, and eventually pearl as well. He doesn't want you to be wood, grass, and stubble because he wants his building. He wants his home.
Amen.
And we just need to cooperate with the operating God.
Amen.
I just wanted to follow the sisters that have shared on having your home in the church.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. The church is really the best place. And I just finished college, y'all, which is wild. took me 5 years. Fun fact, there's nothing wrong with taking 5 years in college. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Don't rush your time. Anyway, was a struggle, though, especially the last couple of years. Y'all know you've been in school, too, whether it's high school, middle school. Online school sucks. Pandemic has sucked, right? And a lot of us have been really thrown off by that, and I was extremely thrown off by that. And similar to the sister whose name I don't know, but hi, who shared about, like, the only reason why I'm still standing here today is because of the saints, and that could not be more true. And so I just really appreciated the past 5 years getting to become so close with the sisters in Arlington. Right now, there's not really anyone there who's my age, who's like a fresh college grad, new to working, but I have so many that I'm connected to. And the enemy is so ridiculous. He's just constantly trying to lie to me and say, you have no friends, you have no companions. But it's not true. They may not be my age, but all of these sisters in the room who are from Arlington hold me together so much more than they know. and there's some really dear, precious saints who are my home meeting who, because of a lot of different circumstances, I either never met or was never close to a lot of my grandparents growing up. And there's these two really sweet older couples in my home meeting, and they themselves named themselves as my grandparents.
Right.
And they're just so sweet.
Amen.
And I'm able to go to them so often with so many things in prayer and fellowship. Sometimes just go over and like have tea at their house for fun. So anyway, all of that to say, stay connected to the saints. No matter where you go, where you're at in life, even if you don't want to, just last little tidbit. A lot of you have mentioned, you know, like conferences are our peak sometimes, right?
Yeah, sure.
And we want to stay on that path. So something that's really precious that somebody shared with me is give yourself the best chance for success. Whatever that looks like, find a way to stay on that track.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that going back to school and doing certain old habits are going to set you off, then find a way to change that.
Yeah.
Find a way to be so intentional and say, I'm going to do this, this, and this.
Right.
And of course, doing that, again, by giving it to the Lord and
amen.
By having somebody else do it with you, having somebody to keep you accountable. Right. Anyway, but praise the Lord. I hope you all just continue enjoying the Lord this school year and are able to make those consecrations, because even though it may seem hard, the Lord will keep you to those, and He is so faithful to fulfill those.
Amen. Well, I'm not gonna lie, I was falling asleep because I'm so tired during the message. But I woke up, I was like in and out. Okay, I woke up and I was just praying because I was like, Lord, if you do not open my eyes, I'm falling back asleep. And I was just praying, I was like, Lord, I was so off topic. I'm not, y'all, I could not focus. I don't know why. But I was just praying and I was praying and I was praying. And I was like, Lord, where am I gonna go to college? And I have been talking about it with my mother and everything. But the Lord was like, after the message and like everything, it was like, you need to stay where the saints are, you need to stay where wherever the Lord takes you. That's what I was getting from this message. And
Amen.
Yeah, the Lord, I know I'm going to college now after this message, so that's good. And yeah, I think it's to me, it's just really precious that wherever the Lord leads you to is exactly where you need to be.
Amen.
You know, like, there's no question about it. There's no, like, you can't bring in all the waters.
The special fellowship really touched me because it made me realize the church really is a family. Like,
yes.
At the beginning, I did not want to come. Wait. The first conference I've ever went to was in Mexico. I didn't really like it because the serving one that was with me, like, called me fat, and I didn't want to go back. A little later, we came back to Houston, and then my mom brought me to, like, my first young people's meeting, and I still was, like, shut out. Like, I didn't want anything to do with it. After it was over, we were singing, and I was like, in the end, I was like, I love this. This is my family.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay, we're about to wrap up. I think 9:15 is when we have, so we'll give a few announcements. But I wanted to respond to a couple of things. To your experience, I think your experience is very, very normal. All of us go through it. So don't feel weird. Don't feel strange. Don't feel defeated. Don't feel like a failure or a hypocrite. That you have this high enjoyment. And then throughout the course of your school year, somehow you hit a low, right? The Christian life, listen to this. The Christian life is a life of hills and of valleys. And yes, the more we grow in the Lord and the more we mature in the Lord, right, we become more stable, right? And our hills maybe are not so high and our valleys are not so low. But it is normal to have those experiences. Okay. The one thing we don't want to do, okay? The one thing we don't want to do is to just will ourselves into having a certain kind of living by your own power, okay? Some of us have very strong character, and so we can read the Bible every day because, by golly, we're going to do it. Okay, that's just you and your strength. That's not the building that Ben was talking about. Right? Some of us are strong. We're not going to listen to that bad music. Okay? Some of us are not. Regardless of what kind of person you are, the key is you need to just invite the Lord.
Amen.
You don't know how many times I've told the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry, but this is just who I am right now. And you know what? It's okay. I go back to what I shared this morning. Neither do I condemn you. You don't think the Lord already knows that? You're not telling him anything he doesn't know. And by the way, he still chose you.
Amen.
He still picked you just the way you are. Because he has more faith and more trust in what his life can do than in your willpower.
Amen.
Okay, so don't be bothered by that. Yes, do your best to cooperate with the inner working. You have a wonderful source of life and strength within you. Tap into that. But when you fail, you just turn back to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. It's who I am. You keep working, Lord. Don't leave me. Don't let me leave you. Right? Anyway, so that's one thing. I really enjoy that. And with regards to, you know, sometimes the brothers, we were having very frank fellowship. I don't know why we got into that, but it seems like so sovereign now. We are not perfect. We, the serving ones around you, we're not perfect. Even those who come to the conferences, we're not perfect. In the church life, even in this family, you're going to bump into things or people where you're going to touch the humanity instead of the divinity. Okay? You have it, I have it, we all have it. Okay? One thing that will keep you and preserve you is to learn to forgive. There's something in the Bible that's called a root of bitterness. And I worry about some of you because you may let things come in, offenses, right? You may let things come in that someone said or you think someone said, and they just plant themselves in you and they bury themselves in you and they just start growing over the years. I mentioned to the, I won't tell you what the experience is, but I mentioned to the brothers, I had something like this happen to me in college. And it took me years, years to forgive a brother. Okay? We need to be those who learn how to forgive. Forgive and forget. It's not because the other person's right and you're wrong. No, 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 no. It's for your own sake. It's for your heart's sake. And again, if you can't do it, talk to the Lord. There's a lot of forgiving that goes on in the church life. That's another good thing in the church life. Listen. Sorry, this is the last experience I'll tell you. When I was in the full-time training, I was made chair captain. That means nothing to you. But in essence, I was the guy in charge of making sure that all the trainees made the row straight, right, before the training, and they all lined up, and they all looked good. And it's a lot of work when you lay out 5,000 chairs. And sometimes this fallen human being was a little too much. And how I talked to the other trainees. And so today, when I go to the training, I see some of these. I remember. Oh. And I am so embarrassed. But most of the time, when those saints see me, I can tell they've forgiven me. And I am walking in like this. Oh, Mauricio. They're so happy to see me. Right? We all need that. We all need that ability to forgive and forget and cover each other. Okay.